Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. Choosewood.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. Researchers on the Mississippi River are testing whether sounds at certain frequencies will keep invasive carp from spreading.
In some cases, it should stop them from wanting to cross. Sometimes it will actually cause them to turn around.
We'll learn more about the early results of this research coming up on The Gateway. A hearing that could free a St. Louis man from prison after 34 years got underway yesterday in a downtown courtroom. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has more on the effort to throw out the murder conviction of Christopher Dunn.
Dunn's wife, mother, and sister listened intently as Special Assistant Circuit Attorney Booker Shaw laid out why prosecutors no longer believe Dunn committed the 1990 killing of Rico Rogers.
The only witnesses who implicate Christopher Dunn are proven liars unworthy of belief. No physical evidence links Christopher Dunn. Instead, he was convicted solely on the basis of recanted testimony.
A different court has already ruled that it's unlikely a jury would convict Dunn without the testimony of those witnesses. But Missouri law says he must remain in prison because he did not receive the death penalty. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
More than 100 people gathered Tuesday outside the Middendorf Credell Library in O'Fallon, Missouri, to protest a plan to close three libraries this summer. Jason Kuhl is CEO of St. Charles City County Libraries and says people are using libraries differently, and the district needs to close branches and reorganize staff to meet patron need and to avoid running out of money. But the library board decided Tuesday to table a vote on the closures until its June 18th meeting. Jenna Robertson is a library patron from Wentzville. She says she's frustrated that library leaders haven't told the public about their financial problems.
It's not going to be impossible to overcome. We just need the right people in there. Someone that knows how to manage a library and not just spend money. And then say, oops, sorry, we're out of money.
The McClay, Deer Run, and Kisker Road branches could close on July 30th unless the library board decides to keep them open. Former Missouri Senator John Danforth is part of a new group of Republicans seeking to move the party away from Donald Trump. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Danforth's involvement in the organization, Our Republican Legacy.
Danforth's group includes former GOP officials who want the party to embrace free trade and a more interventionist foreign policy, something that's been firmly rejected by Trump and his allies. The organization also contends Trump's demeanor and his false claims that the 2020 election was stolen are antithetical to Republican values.
There's an angriness about it, really a meanness of spirit about it, and it's the opposite of anything that I was ever a part of.
Our Republican Legacy isn't planning on supporting any candidates or fielding a third-party challenge to Trump. Danforth says the group wants to build a foundation for the GOP to turn back to right-of-center policies. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can listen to more of Jason's interview with Danforth at stlpr.org. The St. Louis County seat of Clayton now has a historical marker acknowledging the history of the thriving Black community that lived there more than half a century ago. Donna Rogers Beard is a historian and retired Clayton High School teacher. She says Black property owners, some of whom had been there for decades, were forced out to make way for a new business district.
And you see evidence of properties being bought up, and then there's some protests from especially the white members of the community. But by 1961, it's over.
The marker on Carondelet Avenue was placed last month. Rogers Beard says that is a first step to keep the Black community's history alive. She was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. A local nonprofit wants to bring awareness to period poverty this week. That means the inability to afford menstrual hygiene products on a monthly basis. In St. Louis, the issue affects about two-thirds of women. That's according to results from a 2019 study from St. Louis University. The St. Louis Area Diaper Bank is working to change those odds with free period kits for teens and adults. Muriel Smith is the executive director of the organization, who says the lack of access and affordability have consequences.
A lot of people that cannot afford these products usually are using them longer than they should be using them, or in some cases are using other items because they can't afford pads and tampons. They're using toilet paper or socks or towels.
The St. Louis Area Diaper Bank has partnered with several St. Louis City and County Library branches to distribute the free period kits. Researchers have spent the past 2 years on the Mississippi River between Hamilton, Illinois, and Keokuk, Iowa, studying whether underwater acoustic systems will deter invasive carp. Halfway through the study, the results are promising. Reporter Eleanor Lindenmeyer spoke with two lead scientists.
Mary Beth Bray and Krista Woodley are both research biologists. Bray works with the Geological Survey and Woodley with the Army Corps of Engineers. They designed a 16-speaker sound bar and installed it at Lock 19. Now, they're studying the effects. There are four types of invasive carp in the Mississippi. Bray says they were brought in intentionally in the late 60s and early 70s.
They filter feed. They eat a lot of phytoplankton, zooplankton, and so some states brought them in to play cleanup, basically.
But those plans led to unintended consequences. The carp ended up competing for food with native species like the bigmouth buffalo and gizzard shad. In addition, silver carp are known to jump out of the water, causing injuries and property damage. Woodley says the carp can also reduce the water quality, leading to increased dredging and bank destabilization.
When you're thinking about something like the Mississippi River, where we already have quite a bit of flood risk and flood element, the fish can actually increase those impacts, thereby taking one effect and amplifying it.
The goal is to deter invasive carp while minimizing impacts on native species. The soundbar plays sounds specifically at the frequencies the carp can hear. Woodley says the sounds should be irritating to the carp, so they don't come near.
In some cases, it should stop them from wanting to cross. Sometimes it will actually cause them to turn around.
The soundbar can be controlled both on-site and remotely. It is on for 3 days and 8 hours, then off for 3 days and 8 hours. The scientists can then compare how many fish cross the lock when the system is active and how many cross when it is inactive. Bray and Woodley's team puts transmitters in 700 to 800 fish a year to track their movements. The fish are caught, given a minor surgery to insert the tag, then released. This tagging is a group effort. The Fish and Wildlife Service, Missouri Department of Conservation, and the Iowa and Illinois Department of Natural Resources are all involved. Bray says the data from 2022 shows a 50% decrease in silver carp specifically.
So if for every two fish that pass upstream when it's off, one would pass when it's on.
Most native species in the Mississippi do not hear at the same frequencies as the carp. So far, the system seems not to bother them. Bigmouth buffalo are crossing the lock at similar rates when the system is off and on. Bray says they have not seen significant impacts on the freshwater drum, the paddlefish, or the white bass.
But all things considered on the fish side, I mean, it's looking definitely better than not having it there.
The data from 2023 will be analyzed soon. Though Bray and Woodley provide the results, they don't decide if the system should be implemented on a broader scale. That decision is left to the states. Besides studying the movement of fish, Bray and Woodley have also been tracking how well their equipment functions over longer periods of time. Woodley says the technology developed for this project can be used for other projects as well. It is already being used by others trying to attract fish towards certain areas or to cover up construction noise.
It's had a lot of applicability and some really neat science go into it that we're able to track and hopefully push out to people that need it for whatever purpose.
Researchers are studying other deterrent strategies as well. Carbon dioxide, electricity, and walls of bubbles can all be used to deter the passage of fish. But those methods all deter native fish as well. Bray says some groups are also working on combining removal methods with deterrent methods.
We're trying to say, how can we, if we're deterring fish, how can we remove them at the same time?
The underwater acoustic deterrent system study is set to continue through the end of the year. It may be extended with different research questions depending on needs of the partner agencies. I'm Eleanor Lindenmeyer.
That story comes to us from NPR member station Tri-States Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a good day.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.